Lead the Field by Earle Nightingale, a book review. It's been long overdue. I actually recorded it again, put it out too early. I didn't know that I released it. I thought I scheduled it. Like, I'm such a beginner when it comes to technology. But I just wanted to speak to you guys about this book, Lead the Field, because it has helped me tremendously. It has helped me so much, especially in the past year. I have been through so much. 2022, if you guys have been listening to me, you know it was like my Job year. It was a really bad year for me. I don't know how else to put it. I had bad investments, horrible relationships. I had to cut ties with so many people, old friends, and being betrayed, getting heartbroken, and just coping with the wrong things like flesh desires and just getting my needs through things that I realized really wasn't curing the pain. And I just didn't know how to shift careers, and it was just a lot for me. It was a midlife crisis for me. And 2023 is me correcting all the mistakes and honestly failures of 2022. I had to sit down with myself and say, okay, am I going to continue to invest in things and people that I'm not getting anything from? And I decided no. And I wrote off all my losses and decided to keep moving forward. And since then, since the shift of mind, my mind, I haven't been happier. I haven't been this happy in a long time. And I feel like now I'm at the end of the book of Job and I've forgiven and there's no love lost. I gave it to God and now I'm seeing new doors being open, and I'm so happy about that. Doors I couldn't even imagine, relationships that I couldn't even think would come to me. And I'm just really happy about that. You know, it's really hard being a leader, and that's why I want to review books like Lead the Field. And the next book I'm going to be reviewing is Disruptive Thinking. I've been listening to these two books often, because you know repetition is everything. You can't just listen to a book one time and think you're going to change your behavior and your mindset. No, you have to constantly like absorb this information. We do things a little different over here. Like, it may look strange to others, weird to others, but I have affirmations about myself all over my space. Amani, you're doing a great job. Amani, you're strong. You're a leader. You're blessed. I'm constantly listening to the same books on repeat. And repetition is everything. And it changed my life. So I suggest that, you know, don't listen to this once. Don't listen to this twice. Have it on repeat. Have the books that I recommend on repeat. Constantly write and remind yourself. Get it absorbed in your subconscious mind, because all of this is really important. And we're going to get into some of the techniques that he advises in Lead the Field to get you on the fast track. Well, nothing comes easy and quickly. This is a marathon when it comes to building wealth and having success, no matter how fast it may look like someone has accomplished their goals. It takes a lot of work behind the scenes to actually get where you see them. So, you know, we're just doing the work over here. And I'm happy that I decided to change my mind and pick myself back up, because, you know, a leader, being a leader is so, so lonely. It's a lonely feeling when you're a leader. Everybody wants to be seen just to be seen. And I don't understand why, especially if you have nothing to offer the people. Being seen, being a leader, someone people look up to and go to help. They go to you for help and they expect you to solve all their problems. It's so tiring and it's extremely lonely. And I think that's one of the things that just really got to me last year. Like, it's such a lonely business being a leader. People forget that you're human and they always expect you to perform and help and be a superhero. And they forget that you're flesh, just like them. And when you do get vulnerable with them and you have needs, they run away from you. It throws them off and they run. And then when they see you doing good and you pick yourself back up again, that's when they come running right back. And it's so hurtful. It's so painful. And for a while, I truly thought that, well, if they keep coming back, they must really like me. They must appreciate me if they keep coming back, right? But after so many tears and so many times of me being foolish, I realized, like, no, they don't like me. They like what they could get from me. They like my stuff. And they just want what they could get. And it was painful to accept, you know. And it was a real crushing process last year. But I'm wise enough now to know that it is more of a blessing to be able to give than it is to receive. Like, truly, you are blessed when you are able to give back. And I was ministered yesterday by a child, this 10-year-old. And we were at the arcade and he had cash to pay for the game. And I'm just like, no, honey, like, I'll just pay for the game because you have to get it. It was a virtual reality game and you have to buy it on your card. And it's a different type of token or whatever. And I'm just like, no, honey, I'll just get it on my card. Like, it's so fine. And he's just like, no, like, I have to pay you back. Like, let me give you the money. And the money in his hand was more than the game. And I'm just like, no, I can't take that from you. You know, I can't have you outgive me, number one. And, you know, it's nothing for me to just get the game for you. And he didn't like it. He didn't like to receive without giving back. And he was upset by it. Like, this child does not know lack. So much. I was so impressed that I had to go meet his family. So he took me to his mother and I just said, you know, your child is so blessed and he's going to be so successful because he understands a principle that grown men can't even comprehend, that in order to get, you have to give. A lot of people wonder why they're stuck. And it's because they have this get over mentality that they think that they're going to just take from people and somehow God's going to pour them out blessings. You have to take from people because that's what you're putting out, you know. Give with no matter what little you have. You have to start getting in the habit of giving in order to gain. Like, Bob Proctor, this is basics. Givers gain. Givers gain. Like I said, everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to be seen. But Jesus says, who would you rather be? The one who eats the dinner or the one who serves the dinner? You rather eat and be served, right? But I've taken my place among you as the one who serves. It's a change in attitude. It's a change in attitude. Why do you want to be seen? Are you serving people? Do you have something valuable to give to the people? Or do you just want notoriety for no reason? Change your attitude and the way that you treat people, because it's a reflection. Your life shows. You know God's children by their fruit. And I'm not talking about material things or wealth. I'm not even talking about them. You know them by their fruit. You know them by their attitude, their character. You know what I'm saying? And I was just so impressed with this child. I went back home and I prayed for this child and the success over his life, because he really just displayed greatness through that simple act of not feeling comfortable taking without giving back. Attitude. Change your attitude. The book has an exercise where it says, treat everyone how you would like to be treated for 30 days. And it will become a habit. Can you truly love people with agape love and treat them how you want to be treated? It's easy to treat people who treat you kindly the right way. Can you treat the people who are disrespecting you, making underhand remarks, talking behind your back, laughing at you, mocking? When they come back, how can you treat them with kindness? Can you still love them? That's a big part of being a leader. A lot of leaders, they're not liked. You have to be okay with not being liked by the people that you're over. That's a very, very eye-opening thing for me. Like, oh God, you're sending these people back, these ungrateful people back to me to bless them? And yeah, those are the people that you really have to minister to. It's not the people that already get it. And I think the church and religion, this is where they miss it. They gather among themselves and they go isolate in a corner and say, yeah, we're all alike and we can't hang out with these folks that are doing, say, oh, astrology and time. No, these are the people that you're called to minister to. The liars, the cheaters, the people that are mocking you and gossiping about you. These are the people that you're actually called to. So that was a real eye-opener for me. I find that the nicest people are actually at the top. The ones who already got it, they're not trying to get it. They already have it. And they are some of the kindest people that I ever met. Don't even have to acknowledge me and take me in. And they just feel like they're so abundant, they have to give. Like, why not give? Why not give advice, time, information, resources? Why not? Those people gravitate to the top. I find that it's the real monsters that are just trying to climb their way up. That's where you meet the monsters. It's the people who are so desperate to get up that they end up pulling you down. If you're one of those people, change your mindset. The ones that are on top are so nice and they naturally just want to help. Your life will get better when you change the way you treat people and when you change your attitude. This is what the book is really all about. It will become a habit. Like I said, successful people aren't people who don't have problems. Successful people are people who know how to solve their problems. And I could honestly say that 2022 really showed me what being a leader is about, because if I didn't have the skill to sit down in a corner and use my brain to think, I would not be here. If I didn't know how to problem solve and actually sit down and find creative ways to get out of certain situations, I would not be here. People are so quick to just put their problems in other people's hands. They rather do anything but think. I talk about this all the time. They follow, they copycat. That copycat spirit is one thing to be influenced by someone. I find my mentors online and I'm influenced by them. You could hear it in the way I speak, how I tweak my work, but I'm not copying anybody. People think that it's like a magic tricks. Oh, she, and I'm just using myself as an example. Oh, she likes ladybugs. Let me go like ladybugs too. Like they'll do the weirdest things to try to get the results that you're getting, but we all have the same amount of time. 24 hours in a day. It's what you choose to do with those hours. So don't get mad at people when you see them moving forward. They just decided to do things differently with the time that they were given. And if you really want to see me act out a character, jump stupid, go ahead and waste my time. Go ahead and waste my time. Because that will just, that's one thing that really just ticks me off, because I know how valuable time is. Time is so precious. And with me, I feel like once you know that you need to think that your time is valuable, that you have to focus, you'll cut all ties with the things that are no longer serving you, the bad habits. I had to break some bad habits in order to get back on track. I had to cut ties with some people, people that I love. Like, love just doesn't turn off, you know, and it's hard. Having a kind heart and a giving spirit, it's hard to say no to people. But I honestly had to learn for my no to really mean no. When I close the door, keep it closed. Like, that is one of the biggest lessons. Like, people will hinder your success. You know, these habits. Think and Grow Rich says, you'll look in the mirror and you'll see the biggest enemy. The enemy is the inner me. Like, we hold ourselves back so much. If we understood our power, things will just change dramatically for us. It's an eye-opener. So if you're not seeing results, you need to go back to the drawing board and you really need to think. Don't try to get out of this, you know? Don't. Dictate the way your life is going to go. Don't put it in someone else's hands. It's good to have people around you that could help you when you're in a bad position. Like, I thank God for my family, because I know I could, like, I can't really fall because my family is established and I could fall back on them. I'm secure enough to know that I could go after my dreams. And this is like, it's good for me, but you have to find this for you, if you get what I'm saying. I know it's my family for me. It's my foundation. I could always go back. We all have homes. I'll never be homeless. They'll take care of my son. You know what I'm saying? They'll help me. And that's my foundation. And that's why I'm confident enough and strong enough to go after my dreams. What is that for you? You know, when I was pregnant with Aiden, I was young. I was in my last year of college. And a lot of people tried to tell me, oh, now you're not going to finish college. I said, what? If anything, now I'm going to finish college because I have no other choice. I have a life to take care of. God trusted me with the whole life. So if you think getting pregnant was going to stop me from graduating, you don't know my character at all. If anything, I'm going to graduate faster. You know, not letting people tell you who you are. You already know how I feel about that. Nobody can convince me that I'm not great. Nobody. Let them be mad. I don't use Instagram for likes. I use Instagram as a tool to promote my business. And I use Instagram to watch mentors. I found my mentors online, and it's really important to find mentors. You know, I could tell you who you are by the people that you're hanging out with. I have this thing where I get depressed once a year because I'm all the way across the country by myself. And I get depressed and I'm just like, oh, like, I want to go home. But all I have to do is go home for a week to say, oh my God, I cannot wait to get back. All I have to do is speak to someone, no offense, but for 5-10 minutes on the phone from someone who stayed there, And I'm just like, oh my gosh, there's nothing that's relatable. Like, I just don't even, I feel in my heart because that's where I'm from. It's relatable, but it's not. Like, I'm such a different person. And a lot of being a leader is shedding that old you and what people thought about you. The Bible says a prophet is never accepted in their own hometown. You usually have to move away to create the name and the life that you want. It's a fact. A lot of people, they stay stuck because they don't know how to pivot. Like, you're in a career, you wanna change careers, right? Or you're not getting what you want out of your career, but you're too scared to make the change that will get you in the right direction. One, because of what other people think. You're living up to what others think. You know, that is a big mistake that I find people end up falling backwards. It's because they just care too much about what people think. They rather look prosperous than really be prosperous. Like, Instagram, use Instagram for the right things. Like, don't get caught up in buying fake likes and fake comments. You can't even see who's really for you and who's not. You can't even see who will really buy your product and who won't, because it's all fake. You know, use it for the right thing. Find your mentors. I found amazing mentors. Bob Proctor, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen. For books, Tommy Adeyemi, Derek Barnes. Like, I found amazing people online that I watch closely because they're next. My next is in their mouth. They're doing and they are what I want to become, what I'm trying to become. You know, I think that's a big thing as well. Use Instagram for the right thing. A lot of people find themselves like having an identity crisis because their reality doesn't match up with this persona that they have on Instagram. And if you're going through that, I would advise you taking a step back. My biggest blessing is when I was married to Aiden's father, we decided no social media. And when I did get on social media, I just got on social media when I moved to California 4 years ago. I didn't have social media. Like, seeing what goes on social media still throws me off. I feel like that decision really got me ahead of the game because I really was focusing on what mattered, real life. And a lot of people rather just, you know, appear to have it all together and they don't. You know, Phone Numbers by Fabulous, that whole mixtape, the soul mixtape, just ministered to my spirit. I'm just going to leave it there. I suggest you really go listen to Phone Numbers and that whole mixtape. Like, let's really be who we're trying to show others. Let's really be about it. You know what I'm saying? Let's feed the people that are feeding us. Let's do the hard work. Let's buy appreciating assets instead of depreciating assets. Let's just not fake it till we make it. Let's get wealthy instead of looking wealthy. Let's stop trying to impress people that don't even know you. Cut off the distractions. The best investment you can make is in yourself. And a lot of people thought that I meant like material things like clothes and stuff like that. No. No, family. I meant go learn something new. If your career isn't going the way you want, learn how to pivot. Make the changes and course correct. You know what I'm saying? So there's just so much stuff in this book. It says your attitude, number one, is everything. It has a quote where it says, "What you are speaks so loud, I can't hear what you're saying." You know? people that are successful, they don't have to say anything. It shows. It just shows. It shows in the way they could just walk in a room and you know that someone important walked into a room. They exude confidence and you could just tell. I feel like attitude, being able to think for yourself, being who you really are, cutting off people that are distracting you, breaking bad habits, being okay with not being liked. Oh, that is a big one. And for a long time, I had like imposter syndrome because the people back home or my old friends just couldn't accept where I was. And it was hard for me because I felt like, no, like, accept who I am now. Like, look at where I am now. Like, acknowledge me. And it's just like, who cares if they acknowledge you or not? They're not changing anything that you're doing over here. They're not putting any money in your pocket. They're not taking care or feeding your son. Why does it matter if they acknowledge you or not? And it's funny because I read a quote when it was just like, don't worry about your friends not supporting you or liking your business or anything like that. It's strangers that are going to get you rich. And that is so true. Go find your tribe. Go find your people. These people that you left are not your people. And that was hard for me. That was because I'm a loyal person. Like, I'm so loyal that was really, really hard for me. That's something that I had to sit on for over like years. I'm not even going to say just last year, like years, where I was just, I felt like an imposter to my new life, like, because I couldn't accept the new me. I couldn't accept who I was becoming because I felt like the people that I say left behind had to accept it and acknowledge me too. And I had to sit down with myself, like, really, and say, it's okay. It's okay to let people go. It's okay. You may have done a lot of things. Trust me, I am no saint. I have done a lot of things. I have found myself in a lot of weird situations. But that's not who I am. I was in it. I'm not of it. And people, as a leader, they're always going to try to find something to drag you down. You know, that's why I say I'm not for the people. People are so fickle. One day they love you. They love you when they see you're trying to make a name for yourself. But once they see you get a little, you're actually starting to make waves. Oh, no. They're not supporting you anymore. And you have to be okay with that. That's why I say I'm not for the people. I'm for God. You know, if I was for the people, the likes, the dislikes, they will all get to me. I don't let any of it get to me. You like it, okay. You don't like it, okay. It's not changing anything over here. This book has so much valuable information in it. One of the things that I really learned is that your approach to teaching. First of all, you could learn from anyone. So anyone who thinks that they have so much knowledge that they can't learn from anyone else is ignorant. You spend your whole life learning. This is a lifetime commitment to self-improvement, reading books. And I find, for example, let's just use the perfect example. I consider myself a teacher, right? One of the biggest struggles, I even said it, like, I just have to give up my dog. Like, I invested so much in this dog. I had her since she was weeks old. But she's not learning. Like, I don't know. She just keeps barking. She is just obnoxious on the leash and I'm getting frustrated and she's not trained and I'm upset about it. And kindly, the instructor, the trainer had to tell me, it's not her. It's you. It's you as the teacher. Why she's not learning. You have to learn her in order to teach her. And that was really eye-opening for me. Sometimes as teachers, we're all about, no, you're coming to me for instruction, but how am I supposed to take instruction from you if you don't understand who I am? We're all different. I'm not going to learn the same way you learn. I learn completely different from majority of people. And the best teachers are the teachers who understood that and didn't try to make me be like them or felt like I was supposed to learn like how everyone else learned. They were the teachers who had the grace to sit down and watch me before they try to teach me. And I find myself having to do that with Sophie. So that was an eye-opener for me. If you're a teacher, teach with grace. Understand that a lot of the time you're learning from your students, and that if you're teaching, you shouldn't have underhanded comments. It says in the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, that you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. It's a proven fact that people take direction, instruction, more when it's a reward type of thing or when it's a positive approach. But if you have this approach where, I don't know, like underhanded comments and, oh, you're not getting it, and the punishment, it just, they'll shut down. They'll close off. It will go in one ear and right out the other. I see that with Aiden. I know that with myself. I can't take direction from anyone who I feel like is being underhanded with me, or I don't know. So that was eye-opening for me. I know that there's a couple of podcast episodes where my approach, I'm just like, wow, I didn't teach that with grace. Like, I wouldn't expect anyone to really get anything from that because I didn't teach that with grace, you know? So that's a big one. Realizing is a big one too. Realizing where you are, accepting that, and then changing that by changing your mind. And there's so many things that I would say, to sum it all up, in leadership, that you have to realize, you have to be discerning, you have to know when to shift. It's almost like being intuitive, you know? You just have to be ahead of the game. And it takes a lot to lead. Most people are just followers, and that's okay. You know, not everyone is a leader. A leader is not someone putting a title on you. You're born like this. Like, it's not something that someone says, okay, now you're a leader. Like, no, you know, you could tell a leader. I could tell my son's a leader. I could tell my son is not going to be, no offense, but he's not the type to sit down at a desk and do a 9 to 5. He's just not. He's a boss. He's a born leader. And I have to, you know, nurture that in him. Yeah, so there's just so many things about being, influencing people. I'm going to leave it there, because when you're a leader, you're influencing people. And you're changing their behavior. And a lot of leaders, especially when they don't understand some people that are under them, they're so busy and their focus turns to trying to prove them wrong, and they don't realize that, no, the whole purpose of you being over me is to change my behavior. As a leader, you're trying to change people's behavior. So If you want to be a leader, or if you are a leader and you want to be seen, ask yourself, one, why do you want to be seen? What do you have to offer the people? Jesus said that he comes to you as the one who serves. A God, Messiah, said, instead of being at the table and eating, I come as the one who serves you. That's so humbling. That is so humbling. People want to be seen for acknowledged and just to be acknowledged and to stroke their ego. And that's why a lot of them are stuck where they are. You know, you have to come as the one who is providing a service. So lead the field. There's so much information in that book. Go get it. I'll leave all the links in the description box below. The next book review I'll be doing is Disruptive Thinking. That book just came out by T.D. Jakes. And I am like in the middle of my second time listening to it. I got it on Audible. This is my second time listening to it. So I don't know. I feel like I want to sit with it a little more. And that will be the one I'm reviewing next. So I love you guys. I hope you were able to get something out of this. I hope I could be of service to you. You know, I hope this is changing at least one life out there. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.